So we're reading from the writings of Baal HaSulam, Introduction to Panim Meirot and Mesbirot, Item 16. You can ask questions live as always.
So again,
introduction to the book Panim Meirot Masbirot, item 16.
נתחיל. אות זין. וצריכים לדעת.
We must know the nature of the two kinds of discernments customary for us. The first discernment is called discernments of good and bad. The second discernment is called discernments of true and false. This means that the Creator has imprinted a discerning force in each creature that executes everything that is good for it and brings it to its desired completion. The first discernment is an active physical force. It operates using the sensation of bitter and sweet, which loathes and repels the bitter form, since it is bad for it, and loves and attracts the sweet, because it's good for it. This operating force is sufficient in the still, the vegetative, and the animate in reality to bring there to their desired completion. Atop them is the human species, in which the Creator instilled a rational operating force. It operates in sorting the above second discernment, rejecting falsehood and emptiness with loathing to the point of nausea, and attracts true matters and every benefit with great love. This discernment is called discernment of true and false. It's implemented solely in the human species, each according to his own measure. Know that this second acting force was created and came to man because of the serpent. At the time of creation, he had only the first active force from the discernments of good and bad, which was sufficient for him at that time.
Questions up till now? Let's continue and then we'll circle back.
Let me explain it to you with an allegory. If the righteous were rewarded according to their good deeds and the wicked punished according to their bad deeds in this world, Kedusha would be determined for us in the reality of sweet and good, and the Sitra Achra would be defined in the reality of bad and bitter. In this state, the commandment of choice would come to us in the form of, "Behold, I have set before you the sweet and the bitter, and you shall choose the sweet." Thus, all the people would be guaranteed to achieve wholeness, for they would certainly run from the sin, as it is bad for them. They would be occupied in his mitzvot day in and day out, ceaselessly, like today's fools regarding the bodily matters and its filth, since it is good and sweet to them. So was the matter of Adam Rishon when he created him and put him into the Garden of Eden to work in it and keep it. Our sages interpret it. To work in it are the mitzvot of to do, and to keep it are the mitzvot not to do. His mitzvot to do were to eat and delight in all the trees of the garden. And his mitzvot not to do were to not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The mitzvot to do were sweet and sins and nice, and the mitzvot not to do were retirement from the bitter fruit that is as hard as death. Not surprisingly, these cannot be called mitzvot and labor. We find the likes of this in our present work, where through the pleasure of Shabbat, Sabbath, and good days, we are rewarded with the upper Kedusha, and we're also rewarded for retiring from reptiles and insects and everything that one finds loathsome. You find that the choice in the work of Adam HaRishon was by way of choose sweet. It follows that the physical palate alone was sufficient for all he needed to know what the Creator commanded and what he did not command.
No, not here, me Kiev.
Okay, start with Kiev, and maybe we'll go back.
So, the complexity, I think, is a way to resolve it. In this Garden of Eden, there are different trees that you can eat from. And one tree, it's forbidden to eat, is forbidden to eat from. Our work is that in each pleasure, you need to find these two sorts that, you know, what you can and what you can't receive from the Creator.
There's nothing difficult here, because the scrutiny is in you, in your will to receive or in the will to bestow.
Where
in every turn, every action, every thought of yours, you have to use the power of bestow, and you don't have the power of bestow. So you ask the Creator to give it to you. There's no confusion in the work. Because ultimately, you have to scrutinize that you have no desire to bestow, and you turn to the Creator and ask for that. Because you have nowhere else where you can get it from. Only from Him.
And
what you can do is with things that are necessary for life. You're using, you're able to receive, and this is called neither condemned nor praised. Meaning, you need it necessarily in order to keep your animal alive.
So to live and sustain your animate body, and the example with all the other trees in the garden, that can you enjoy them?
You can eat from all the trees of the garden because in them you're working like an animal. And where you work as a man, the tree of good and evil, there you have a problem. You can't receive from it.
So the complication is in that you need to differentiate the trees.
That's our inner work. With which intention are we working?
Moscow 1. Lo shomim.
I can't hear you.
Lo shomim.
Still cannot hear you.
Tov, 5:19.
PT19. So he says here, by way of allegory, that the wickedness of the righteous would have then been, well, etc., etc. In this world, we don't see that the righteous, they merit something, and that the wicked are punished. We see the exact opposite.
Maybe.
What does he mean here?
He says that if we could see in this world the actions of the righteous as good and the actions of the wicked as bad, then we would never make any mistakes. There would be no scrutiny.
So every time we need to, what?
We are working in order to acquire the quality of bestowal. And through the quality of bestowal, we can see all the actions of the Creator and of us correctly.
And right now we don't see it.
No, right now we don't see it. We can't. We do everything opposite, and even the Creator appears to us as doing everything opposite, and there's nothing good in the world.
And we actually have to come to see that in the world everything's good.
Correct. Let's go on.
Да, Раф, спасибо. Получается такая какая-то вот гигиена для употребления для человека. То есть мы сначала истина приходит к нам в виде лжи, мы ее должны переделать опять.
A person has to act in a certain way. First of all, we have to go through the lie, invert it into truth, and then only can we achieve something. That's the scheme.
Yes. Yes. As long as we advance, you read again this excerpt for us. Let's hear it.
So again, excerpt number 16. There are the two scrutinies. We must know the nature of the two kinds of discernment customary for us. The first discernment is called discernments of good and bad. The second discernment is called discernments of true and false. This means that the Creator has imprinted a discerning force in each creature that executes everything that is good for it and brings it to its desired completion. The first discernment is an active physical force. It operates using the sensation of bitter and sweet, which loathes and repels the bitter form since it's bad for it, and loves and attracts the sweet because it's good for it. This operating force is sufficient in the still, the vegetative, and the animate in reality to bring them to their desired completion. Atop them is the human species, in which the Creator instilled a rational operating force. It operates in sorting the above second discernment, rejecting falsehood and emptiness with loathing to the point of nausea, and attracts true matters and every benefit with great love. This discernment is called discernment of true and false. It's implemented solely in the human species, each according to his own measure. Know that this second acting force was created and came to man because of the serpent at the time of creation. He had only the first active force from the discernments of good and bad, which was sufficient for him at that time. Let me explain it to you with an allegory. If the righteous were rewarded according to their good deeds, and the wicked punished according to their bad deeds in this world, Gdusha would be determined for us in the reality of sweet and good. and the Sitra Achra would be defined in the reality of bad and bitter. In this state, the commandment of choice would come to us in the form of, "Behold, I have set before you the sweet and the bitter, and you shall choose the sweet." Thus, all people would be guaranteed to achieve wholeness, for they would certainly run from their sin, as it is bad for them. They would be occupied in his mitzvot day in, day out, ceaselessly, like today's fools regarding the bodily matters and its filth, since it's good and sweet to them. So was the matter of Adam HaRishon when he created him and put him into the Garden of Eden to work in it and keep it. Our sages interpreted to work in it are the mitzvot to do, and to keep it are the mitzvot not to do. His mitzvot to do were to eat and delight in all the trees of the garden, and his mitzvot not to do were to not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The mitzvot to do were sweet and nice, and the mitzvot not to do were retirement from the bitter fruit that is as hard as death. Not surprisingly, these cannot be called mitzvot and labor. We find the likes of this in our present work, where through the pleasure of Shabbat, Sabbath, and good days, we are rewarded with the upper Kedusha, and we are also rewarded for retiring from reptiles and insects and everything that one finds loathsome. You find that the choice in the work of Adam HaRishon was by way of choose sweet. It follows that the physical palate alone was sufficient for all he needed to know what the Creator commanded and what he did not command.
Anything new?
Do the scrutinies always accompany us?
Scrutinies accompany us always. And to the extent that we're advancing correctly, we will keep hitting the scrutinies and we'll need to scrutinize what they're giving us. Yeah, we become like a lab. These scrutinies raise us, grow us. It's like a normal person in this life. He goes and he scrutinizes new things constantly. They accumulate in him and they make him into the person he is in this world. And the same is true for spirituality.
Okay,
what are we doing next? Are we going to test?
Can I ask
something?
Yes,
during these days, the days of the shattering, there's a feeling of heaviness. How do we use this opportunity?
I think that it's not simply burdening, but rather those are special days that are good for advancement. It's not a coincidence. It's written that on the day that the day of birth and the day of death are the same day. And it's written about the Messiah, and this day, the day the Messiah was born, this day the Messiah died, and so on, and so forth. So don't pay attention so much to what's happening in these days, although there is a special illumination. There's a special opportunity.
So how do we use this opportunity?
We're doing it. There's no problem. If a person participates in the lessons and then wants to go over them again and implement them in his life, in the life of the group, then he can do it. He can do it. Let's go to
PT6
we have. Maybe women want to ask something?
Nashim. Baksha, Coleman.
Coleman, please, women.
Slicha. Moscow 18.
Moscow 18. How do tears make the transition from the opposite to equivalence of form with the Creator?
The tears are when a person is completely despaired of his own powers, of his ability to attain something by himself. And instead he feels that he must fall, truly fall down before the Creator, and only with the help of the Creator, only if the Creator will do something to him, a special action of correction, only then he can transition from the feeling of this world to the feeling of the spiritual world, and he has no chance of doing it by himself. So that's what he does, and he crosses. He is ready to connect with the friends, he's ready to do everything, because he can see that the gate of tears means that he couldn't reach anything by himself.
Turkey one, how can we rely on our senses before we become a spiritual 10, especially if we're experiencing different emotions than what we see in our eyes?
But sensations we're talking about, that we have to reach a state where we have no chance of succeeding, rather everything comes from above. This is the correct sensation, and it will dominate all of us.
Can we cry for the friends?
You can do whatever you want. The main thing is for us to bestow as much as possible to one another. And then what will happen, will happen. The important thing is to help everyone. In the 10, I mean, of course.
לאחר כל שער הדמעות, כל שער של דמעות,
after every gate of tears, does the Creator once again strengthen the ego?
No, the Creator continues to strengthen the ego, but he gives us the power to work with it correctly.
Is crying the feeling of lack?
Crying is not the feeling of a lack, but the feeling of a lack of power, that I have no way of attaining what I'm after.
Are we capable of reaching a state of tears not out of despair, of becoming despaired in our own forces, but out of our yearning for the Creator?
That's not enough. We need to reach despair.
By
wanting to reach something, that's not enough. When we're unable to reach something, that it's not in our hands at all, it's in the Creator's hands, and he's opposite and distant and all the rest, all of that, that's how it comes to us.
Why is the desire for love and the fear of heaven, why do they awaken only briefly? Can we extend their length in order to come out of the ego once and for all?
Try. It all depends on a person.
Is
the broken gate a prevention on part of the Creator or on part of man?
Only on the part of man. From the point of view of the Creator, there are no gates or locks or anything. It's all inside a person.
Why is the serpent leading us to the scrutiny of...
We don't have a serpent yet, we didn't talk about it.
Woman Hebrew,
is there good and bad involved in our basic needs too? Does a person need to be in constant restriction?
A person has to always be in permanent restriction on, in order to receive and open up those desires where he can work with them in order to bestow.
Woman Hebrew, maze priyatzadat.
What is the fruit of the tree of knowledge?
We didn't talk about it yet.
That's it for now.
Okay.
So we're going back to the test.